Welcome to another episode of Capital Connection. As always, I'm your host, Matt Calder, and we have part two, part dos, part do, of the Who We Are series, highlighting the faces, or rather the voices, of the Civitas Institute. On today's show, we're going to be talking with Donald Bryson. He's the president and CEO of the Civitas Institute. And then we will talk with the communications director for the Civitas Institute, Brooke Medina. And if you tuned into the last segment, you know we'll be talking to them about what brought them to Civitas, what got them involved in politics in the first place, and really what they're doing here and what they're doing here. As in, what are they doing that got them here? And then now that they're here, what are they doing? But before we get to that, of course, I want to say that we are again sponsored by the Civitas Institute here at Capital Connection as North Carolina's conservative voice. Find out more about Civitas at nccivitas.org. That's nccivitas.org. And also, while you're at it, go check out our social media for the show. It's at NCCapCon, NC Capital Connection, at NCCapCon. It's Instagram and Twitter. On Facebook, search NC Capital Connection. You can like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Instagram, and keep up with what's going on outside of the show. And I will say this right now. Tune in next week for a huge announcement, about the show. But again, you'll have to wait till next week to find out about that. But a great way to make sure you do not miss that announcement is to subscribe to the show. If you're not already subscribed to the show, you're missing out on the absolute easiest way of getting the show to your device and making sure you miss none of the content at Capital Connection. And to do that, go into your phone, your tablet, and pull up, if you're an Apple user, Apple Podcasts. If you're an Android user, you got downloaded app. Podcast Addict works very well. And you just search for the show and search Capital Connection. It will pop up. You can subscribe. It'll come to your device automatically. And you don't have to worry about chasing it down every week or sitting down next to the radio if that's how you're currently listening to the show. You don't have to worry about that anymore. It comes right to your device. You don't have to even think about it. It just shows up every time the show shows up every Monday. But however, if you are listening on the website, I don't want to completely discount the website. We definitely want you subscribing because it's much easier. But I don't want to completely discount the website because that is still useful for you if you want to keep up with or catch up with on the show. If you're a little bit later to the show and you haven't heard everything coming backwards and you want to kind of catch up with that, you can do that on the show on the website at freedomactionnetwork.com. Again, that's freedomactionnetwork.com. You can catch up with everything you've missed. And that is a simple way to go there and get all this context for things going on in North Carolina. Maybe if you're new to the area that you didn't already have, there's a lot of great evergreen content there for you. So again, make sure you're subscribing to the show. Make sure you're following along on social media. Make sure you're checking out the website and catching up on what you missed. But above all else, make sure you're ready to settle in and listen in to why Donald Bryson came to Civitas, why he came to politics in the first place, or policy in the first place, what he's doing here and what he's going to be doing while he is here. And same for Brooke. Just settle in and find out who we are. All right, Donald, thanks for joining us and humoring me and participating in this Who We Are segment or series that I've been doing.
Absolutely happy to be on. I really think this is a good tool that we have here at the Civitas Institute, and I think it's important for people to know what we do and why it's important.
Right, and I think I agree, and a good way to find out why it's important is to find out why it's important to the people who are doing it. Why is it worth coming in every week and doing this stuff? And in a lot of ways, I mean, it's politics. You're beating your head against a wall on a lot of these things. Why is it worth it to you to come in and do these things? And I think it's a fair question. But before we get to that, I want to know a little about your background, what brought you into politics and then to Civitas.
Sure. So my public policy background goes all the way back to 2009. I started out working for Parents for Educational Freedom in North Carolina, a school choice group. Here in North Carolina, focused broadly on school choice. It wasn't just a charter school group or just a homeschool group or just a voucher group. It was focused on increasing choice for all families through all types of educational options. And I worked there for about 3 years under a variety of job titles, did some policy analysis, did communications. I think I built their database at one point and had a really good time there and gained a lot of good experience. And then an opportunity came up to do some grassroots work with Americans for Prosperity. So I'd done some communications work and some policy work, and so I wanted to add grassroots to my repertoire, and so I became a field director with Americans for Prosperity in 2012, and stayed there for a while. A great group focused on economic issues, but really more on the advocacy side as opposed to the policy analysis side. You know, trying to actually influence votes at the General Assembly and in Congress. I worked there and became state director in 2014, and I was the North Carolina state director until the end of 2017, when I became the president and CEO of the Civitas Institute.
There you go. But so that kind of is why you got into politics here in North Carolina way. But I guess what drew you to Parents for Educational Freedom in the first place? What drew you to even get involved at all in politics beyond the level of someone who is a voter, you know, who's a reliable voter, comes in every election, someone who's just paying attention? What got you to make that step to someone who wants to be there on the ground involved or be in a grassroots role? I mean, everything that followed from when you first came in 2009, what got you there?
Well, I'd always been interested in education policy. My mother had been a public school teacher in Kentucky and Georgia, and you know, trying to figure out what options worked best for different kids. My mother, not only was she a public school teacher, she was specifically worked with disadvantaged kids, and she worked very hard to make sure they had the best environment that worked for them. And so trying to talk about and thinking about that basically all through my teenage years, you know, why did I have a different educational environment, and why was I able to flourish in this educational environment versus other kids weren't able to? And it came to my mom very early on, and it came to me as I was growing up that, you know, a one-size-fits-all environment doesn't work for everybody. And if we're going to push, you know, a certain education curriculum, you know, you have to have these knowledge and skills in language arts and mathematics and reading and writing, then in order to even qualify for a job, then we need to make sure that everybody is able to succeed in whatever their environment they're in, or provide the environment where they can succeed. And so getting in that and start thinking about, well, you know, if taxpayers are having to pay for all this, are taxpayers ever actually getting the proper value for the money they're paying in? And all those things working through my mind actually drew me to start volunteering for Parents for Educational Freedom in 2008, about a year after I had been married, after I got married and moved to Raleigh. And from being a volunteer, I moved into a staff position.
So what were you doing before that?
I was in college. I was in college trying to finish up school. I was going to UNC Greensboro Online, and I was also coaching debate for Emory University down in Georgia with their policy debate team, and James Madison University in Virginia.
So you were one of the ones who got married in college.
I did. My wife was in grad school, and I was finishing up my undergrad, and yeah, just got married while I was trying to do all of that. I think I was working three jobs. I was also a substitute teacher here in Wake County at the same time.
That's a rough road. I mean, that is a tough road to imagine going down. I didn't even think about, you know, I met my wife while we were in our first year of college, and we were together all through college, and I knew I wanted to marry her, but I was not planning on doing it before I had a few things established.
Well, you know, it worked out for us. I wouldn't recommend it for everybody, but it was it worked out for us and brought me to North Carolina from Georgia.
Well, good deal. And so being as the you know, the CEO, the president of Civitas, your job is definitely very different than other people we talked to for this series. You know, we talked to Brian about his policy, you know, elections and or not elections, but his tax policy stuff that was really a lot of what his focus was, at least. And then talked with Ray about where his focus on writing is. Granted, he's doing, you know, editing and things. And Brooke, she's in a communications role, but she has a real focus on these social issues. But as the president of Civitas, what are your roles? What do you sort of do, and how much with policy do you do?
What would you say you do here?
Exactly. Yes.
I'm involved in a little bit of everything. I have policy discussions with our policy team, ranging from tax policy to education policy, particularly focused on school choice and ESAs, trying to figure out sort of what the direction of the organization is. I'm very heavily involved in the public opinion polling that we do here at Civitas, which is unique not only in North Carolina, but among public policy think tanks nationally. No other state-based think tank that I'm aware of, and of course we talk with a lot of them, actually does that for their state. And you know, that takes up a good bit of time, but trying to plan CLC, I'm involved in a lot of things, but you know, Civitas, I think, is unique in that it has become very much a watchdog, but also providing solutions, policy solutions, for tax policy and school choice.
All right, and then going forward, I mean, what is your focus on right now? What are you working on next? You know, we're in an off time right now, a lot of people would say, for politics, and that we're out of the short session. There's going to be a lame duck session, if you will, in November, but we don't come back in for the long session until next year. What are you doing now, and what are you doing in the quote-unquote off season?
Sure. Well, it's not really the off season. It only appears to be the off season, but you know, Civitas lives in this quasi-political environment. We're not a political organization. We're a policy organization, but policy springs from the mouth of politics, right? And so if Civitas is going to continue to be sort of this North Star, the conservative voice in North Carolina, then we need to start talking right now about what some good public policy solutions are for North Carolina going forward, and use the momentum of, you know, people actually paying attention to public policy right now in election season to actually get some good ideas in people's minds, that being elected officials, but also the general public as well. And so we're working on a lot of studies regarding school choice, but also particularly how, you know, what's the next step for tax policy in North Carolina? And I was involved with that a lot when I was with Americans for Prosperity in a different way, but Civitas has provided a lot of good studies and reports and analysis on tax reform solutions in North Carolina. And now, you know, our job here at Civitas is to figure out where to go forward. The Tax Foundation, the Nonpartisan Tax Foundation, does a ranking of states every year in their business tax climate index, and they rank every state. And before 2013, North Carolina was ranked 44th in the country. And since that time, because we've had four successive rounds of tax reform, of which Civitas provided a lot of those ideas that have gone into those four rounds of tax reform, we've jumped up to 11th in the country. So how do we crack the top 10? How do we become one of those top 10 most competitive states? Obviously, we've improved a great deal, but there's still more room to do. And particularly with such a fast-growing state, we just can't sit where we are. We need to sort of continue and think of tax reform as an ongoing process as opposed to sort of a stop and start.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for coming on and sharing this with us and kind of giving us a look at your history and building out that picture of who Civitas is.
I appreciate that very much. Always happy to be on. And I'd encourage listeners to come to a poll luncheon sometime and see what other North Carolinians think about the issues of the day.
All right. And tell them where they can find tickets for that.
They can go to nccivitas.org/lunch. And that should give you a website to sign up for our poll luncheon on any given month.
All right. Thank you. All right, Brooke, thanks for coming on the show and participating. I guess maybe you're more humoring me in this Who We Are Civitas segment.
Hey, Matt, anytime I get to talk about myself, you know I'm here. So thanks for the opportunity.
Well, unfortunately, this isn't a very long segment. If you want to do a very long segment talking about yourself, you'll have to do it after I leave for the day. I'll leave you the keys. You can just talk into the mic, and I'll delete it in the morning.
Thanks, Matt. I appreciate that, but I might just do a Facebook Live later.
There you go. All about Brooke.
Stay Facebook tuned Live. To the Civitas Institute Facebook page for what might materialize.
All right. So anyway, this is the second segment of the series, and however long it ends up being, it may be two, it may be more. But this is sort of a who the faces of Civitas, or who the people, the voices, I guess, in this instance, the voices of Civitas are, kind of building out a picture of the people of Civitas, because Civitas Institute is not some, you know, organization. It is a bunch of people coming together for a bunch of different reasons to try and affect policy change in the state.
Right. So we are a nameful, faithful organization rather than a nameless, faceless one. I'm glad you're doing this series. I think this is good.
Right. Well, thank you. So in that spirit, I want to talk a little about what is your background and sort of what road led you to Civitas. So kind of go into your, you know, background.
Sure. So I have been a North Carolina resident for a number of years, but I am not from North Carolina. Some people think I'm from like Minnesota for some reason. I've got one of those accents, but I'm not from there either. I grew up an Army kid, and so we were stationed at Fort Bragg for a long time, which was my first introduction to North Carolina when I was a child, and have had a special place in my heart ever since. And so I grew up in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and we moved to Raleigh a few years ago after doing numerous moves because I ended up marrying a soldier. And so we were a military family and still are, actually, and have moved all across the country. Fun, exciting places, but I am so glad to be back in the state of North Carolina, but in Raleigh in particular. It's got a little bit more to do than Fayetteville, which I do love Fayetteville. However, Raleigh has some great museums. So since I'm a bit of a museum junkie, that has been especially exciting, a great aspect of living here. So that's a little bit about how I got to Raleigh, but then I ended up deciding to look for jobs in public policy. Again, I've been a military spouse, so we've been moving all around. But my interests have always lied in advocacy, public policy, particularly social issues. So if you go to nccivitas.org and look at some of what I've written, I have tended to focus more on life issues, social issues, etc. And so Civitas was a good fit for me, and they decided I was a good fit for them. And so now I'm the communications director here at Civitas and thoroughly enjoy connecting with people, getting comments, feedback, and press relationships.
So if you like talking about yourself, you've really kind of found your niche being really, in a lot of ways, the one of the mouthpieces of Civitas.
Right. And I should say, I don't want to sound like a narcissist. I am saying some of this, I like to talk about myself things in jest, but I like talking about ideas. So I am an ENTP personality type, if you enjoy Myers-Briggs, which those are the people that really enjoy discussing ideas rather than just aspects of someone's life per se, just random little stories from their life, but really the ideas that shaped those stories. And so that's something I personally am drawn to. And I love that Civitas is always willing. We are a think tank in some ways, but we're also a grassroots public policy organization. So we're able to amplify ideas, really good conservative ideas, and make them accessible to the public. And so that's something that I just am so grateful that I have the opportunity to be a part of. But on the personality types, Matt, I don't think anyone else that has done the segment with you has asked, what personality are you?
I was actually going to offer that up. I am an INTP, funnily enough.
Hey, well, look at that. We're like two sides of the same coin. I'm just louder than you, I guess.
I'm what they call an outgoing introvert. I can be outgoing. I can have all that fun. But ultimately, if I want to recharge, it needs to be by myself. Or at least at home.
Except that you have a young child and another one on the way, so quietness and recharging maybe aren't as easy to find now.
That's why I stay awake so late at night. I'm up out of my shop after everyone goes to bed, and that's where my quiet space is, and that's where I get my time and recharge, and or I spin on my bike and do other things. So I do get my recharging time in.
Good for you.
So, and I'm always awake in my house when everyone else is asleep, just for that reason. Mm-hmm. Whether it's at night or I'll do it in the morning if I go sleep early that night, I always have like a couple hours a day where everyone else is asleep in my house. But again, this segment's not about me. You turned it. It's not about me.
I'm an extrovert. I gotta ask other people about their lives.
This segment's about, again, you. So we know a little about your background now.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about what Civitas, or actually, you kind of went into a little about how you ended up at Civitas, but what does Civitas do that's so personal to you, or what what really kind of like strikes a chord with you that Civitas does?
Well, there's quite a few things, but I would say let's look at the meta picture here. And Civitas's mission is removing barriers to freedom so that all North Carolinians can enjoy a better life. And that is something I'm very passionate about, liberty and those founding principles of equality under the law and liberty and justice for all. Growing up in a military community and seeing the high price that so many have paid for our freedom and liberty in this country has definitely instilled in me a very, very deep-rooted appreciation for protecting and guarding liberty. And Civitas Institute is one of the most effective, in my opinion, voices that is advocating and advocating for liberty, but also being a watchdog in some ways against infringements on our liberty at the state level. So that's something I'm especially passionate about, is that Civitas, whether we're focusing on economic policy like budget and taxes, education policy, or elections and ethics, we are constantly seeking to be vigilant and on guard to protect North Carolinians. And even those that might disagree with us, if you follow our Facebook page or our Twitter account, you know that there are people that do not agree with us that come on there, and we welcome respectful civil discourse. But nonetheless, we seek to be North Carolina's conservative voice, but also through things such as our public polling, we seek to be a voice for all North Carolinians.
All right. So those are kind of the things that really, which I mean, get, you know, you excited. But it's funny kind of thinking about it, is that those are communicating things. I mean, those are communications projects. So I guess you're in the right area with what you're doing.
I hope so. I think I am.
So you kind of talked generally about how you came to Civitas. Didn't you come to Civitas through a certain program? Yes.
So the Charles Koch Institute, which is based in Arlington, Virginia, is a free speech, free market principle organization that really seeks to train up people in what is referred to as the liberty movement and give them a solid philosophical foundation on the importance of free markets and tolerance and free speech, etc. And so I was a communications fellow in that Charles Koch Institute program first, and that really helped provide an excellent foundation for what I'm doing here now, because although we're amplifying and advocating for maybe certain public policies, those are always those are downstream from the principles of free markets and liberty, and so it's important to have a good foundation philosophically, and that's what the Charles Koch Institute did.
Okay, so what projects going forward are you excited about? Because you talk about, you know, some of, I guess not so much the things that Civitas does. I want to get to that too, but I want to talk a little about some of the articles you put out and some of the things specifically you've done, because you have your role at Civitas. You know, there are different roles, or some people's jobs are really more to put out these policy papers. Your role is a communications director role, but you also do put out these policy papers. I want to talk about those and then what going forward you might be working on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so in the past, I have written things regarding pro-life policies and just speaking out against some of the pro-abortion policies that have been introduced by certain members of the General Assembly, and trying to just highlight and amplify the what these policies actually entail. And so I have written for our Toxic Agenda series an abortion article, and currently I'm working on a parental rights article for that same series. And so basically delving more deeply into what parental rights are and how we can protect them. If you're not familiar with it, there is an organization called Parental Rights, and they focus on championing good legislation at the state levels that protect parents, so that things such as what happened to a dad in Cherokee, North Carolina, don't happen to others, where his daughter was just taken away from him without his knowledge. He was taking care of a sick wife at a hospital, and the state came in and took away his daughter, and they had completely bypassed certain protocols, and they were in the wrong. But things like this are happening more than we realize. So I'm focusing on that. And then our editor, Ray Nothstein, and I will be working on religious liberty.
Well, good deal. I know that's something that we had Ray on the last one of these, and we went into his seminary background and that sort of thing. So that's a good like niche for you guys to get into there. The thing about the first one, the child, you know, child protective services coming in and taking this kid, I mean, that's something you definitely don't hear about a lot. But honestly, for me, it's not something I think about as, like, quote unquote, what Civitas does. You know, I think about the elections things. I think about, you know, the tax policy sort of stuff.
Right.
But that is just, that's a different side of Civitas you're not going to see a lot. Mm-hmm. And maybe wouldn't really see so much if you hadn't ended up here as well.
Right. And the reason we are delving into it to some degree, although it is not one of our three primary policy areas, which are education, economics, and elections, although it's not one of those, it is a liberty issue. And because we are committed to removing those barriers to freedom, you know, those barriers can come from the private sector, but they can also come from the government sector and or the public. And so that is an area that, as a parent, you understand this, and I'm a mother of four. If the government is stepping in some capacity and usurping my parental rights without cause, that's a huge liberty issue. And we at Civitas see this as part of a larger problem, which primarily stems from this big government approach that some on the left advocate for. And so that's why we're even delving into, let's say, the religious liberties, free speech, gun rights, etc. So it's all part of what we're calling a toxic agenda series. So if you go to toxicagenda.org, it will take you to all of the papers that we've written so far on these things, and you'll be amazed, but not in the good way, about at just the extent that some of these legislators are going to, the lengths that some people are going to, but primarily just activists on the left, in order to silence certain voices and to stifle our rights.
Right. And that's just a pretty clear way to go about it. It makes sense. But it's the different facets is what I like. The different, you know, the core point is definitely something that hits, but the different ways you can look at it and come at it from. And that's what's interesting to me about the Toxic Agenda series, in a way that it really invites a way to make it more personal.
Mm-hmm.
It really invites you to come at it from your personal standpoint, which is sort of part of what gave me the idea for doing this series in a way.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that personal aspect to it.
Yeah, I like that you're doing this series, and not just because I get to talk about myself, but because it does. Civitas is an organization that is composed of people, and we have the same sorts of lives that other people, our listeners, have, as far as we have families that we're going home to each day. We have certain hobbies that we're, you know, interested in. We have shows that we like to binge watch on Netflix and things like that. But we're just everyday people that desire to make an impact in this way. And we can't do it, though, without our listeners. But we understand that our listeners need to understand or to see this human aspect of us. And so that's what you're trying to do with this series. And I'm so glad you've done it. And we hope to get listener feedback from these sort of things, because we want to hear, hey, you know, you identify with this particular thing that one of us has said, and maybe we can talk more about it through email. But it's just, we want you all, the listener, to see or get a sense of the human side of Civitas.
All right. Well, I think we'll cut it there. Thank you for coming on and participating in the letting people know who you are.
Thanks, Matt. Have a good day.
As always, we are glad to have you here listening, whether you're listening on the radio, whether you're listening on the website, whether you are subscribed to the show, whether you followed a link off of social media, whether this is your first time, whether you've been here for every episode, we're glad to have you here, and we'll catch you next time.